magnify you, Jesus. Glorify you and praise you, Jesus. There's none like you, Lord. We exalt you, praise you, yes. Lord, we exalt you. We exalt you. Lord, we receive a revival service. We receive a Jesus service. Lord, we're beyond even asking, we're receiving. Because we've asked. We believe that the things that we ask, we receive. Because we ask not amiss, but we ask. We ask for one that's far more willing to give us the things that we're asking for than what we can imagine. If ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto those that you love, your children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask? So right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Because we've asked, we receive. And we fully expect, Lord, that before this service is over and these hours are finished, that dozens of people either here or out there will be healed in their bodies. Lord, this is an absolute. We praise you. We worship you for it. Why wouldn't you do it, Lord? We believe for people to be born again in this very service. We believe, Lord, for addictions to go in this very service. We believe for anxieties and fears and phobias of every sort to go in this house and through the camera this morning in the name of Jesus. We believe that revival is now. We receive these things. Jesus, you stand in our midst and we worship you and we glorify you. We're not longing for the day. We receive the day. We receive the day on purpose and we worship you and we glorify you. We thank you that you stand in our midst, Jesus. We glorify you. Only you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you've given us the Holy Ghost for these very things. Thank you, Jesus. Glorify you. Let's worship him just a little more. Expect to receive this morning. Expect to receive. We have no agenda except his. We have no schedule to follow except his. Yours and yours alone, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. Vela caroso. Invade the homes, Lord. You're already there. You're already there where comfort is necessary, then comfort be. Where peace is necessary, peace be. Where healing is necessary, healing, miracles of every sort. In the name of Jesus, we release and we praise you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus, the manifestation of your love, the manifestation of your glory. I say, oh God. Oh, my kalasiridiato. Yes, sir. Medekeresiridioto. Melediranda keresteridia. Melesetidia pokrostete. I'm quite aware right now, for some odd reason, that there's a burning inside of someone's body. It's a good indication, and I believe that it's not for just one, this word, but you can feel a warmth. It's either in this house, it could be in this house in a number of places, or those that are watching, there's a warmth in your body right now. Just as I was praying, I saw a fire of God in your body. The glory of the Lord is in there. receive this word of knowledge as an impartation to your healing this morning. In the name of Jesus, receive that life right now. God is working in some organs of the body right now, healing. The fire of God is in there. The Holy Ghost is in there. Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name, right now. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Yes, sir. Oh, Jesus, I command cancer to go out of the body. Prostate cancer, very specifically, I have to mention it. Go in the name of Jesus. I command every cell to be destroyed right now. And everything that is even in those men in which there's some kind of preliminary work going on against you, in the name of Jesus, I command healing to your body. The fire of God. Anxiety, I command you, your demonic spirit. This goes beyond imbalances of the body to phobias that have been around your heart and mind for years. And he's speaking to those in this place and through the camera. Demonic spirits, I speak to you today under this authority that has been given to us. This is the day of Joel's army. This is the day that the Lord has made. From the very beginning we speak and have had this authority, but now we are being awakened to what we have always had. You foul devils, I command you in the name of Jesus, you take your tentacles out of these people, out of their minds, out of their bodies, in the name of Jesus. I command phobias, anxiety attacks. Now I can tell you something right now because it's a word of the Lord, it's a word of knowledge. Some of you are fighting anxiety attacks from a chemistry kind of thought process. Do whatever you need to do for your body to make it improve. But the Lord said, you're not going to win this battle until you begin to face it in the spirit. Because the enemy is pulling something on you. He's getting something over on you by waging war in two arenas, two battlefronts. Until you go into the spirit and begin to speak to this thing and acknowledge it as a personality, as a personification, it's not going to leave your life. This is the word of the Lord. This is the word of knowledge. You have to begin to speak to it, and it will go, and it will go quickly, saith the Spirit of grace. What is that, Lord? Yes, sir. Something in somebody's left hand. Something in somebody's left hand. God. Oh God, the healing virtue. A weakness in the left hand. The healing virtue of the Lord. Jesus. 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 Strength. Strength, renewal. The life of God. The life of God, the healing virtue of the Lord, flow through your body. Makares etidiasato. Pancreatic cancer, I prophesy to you. I command you in the name of Jesus that the enzymes of your pancreas begin to change. I curse cancer. I turn the root. I command the root to be pulled out now. Balahore hesevi krestete utiata krestete mirado eseti atiakete ofrasate. In this revival, saith the Spirit of Grace, much exposure is coming. For you've thought much about the exposure of men and politics in these days, but I'm going to take the exposure to a place where I begin to expose the enemy of your soul and the enemy of your body. The demonic spirits that have stood in the shadows behind medical reports and biological reports and those things in which they have hoodwinked my body and been able to stay in places of authority in the body because the right battle was not being fought. I say unto the church, yes, unto the modern day church that thinks they're so smart, the awakening will be this, that my body will begin to think spiritually once again, not divorcing themselves from the wisdom of proper facts and understanding of those things, but coming once again into the alignment of a spiritual mind. Yes, they've hid behind these things. You've fought too many battles through pills and shots and diagnosis and things in which my body, Joel's army, will turn again and conquer the earth through the power of the healing virtue that is in your hands and flows through your spirit, saith the Spirit of Grace. These are days of renewal, not just in power, but in the way that my body thinks and the way that my body approaches sickness and disease. Go back to the old. Go back to the old. Go back to the old, saith the Spirit of Grace. Who has graduated you into this university of great understanding whereby you would bypass the power of God on the way to intelligence? For I say to you, go back to the old. Stand in the humility of my word. Trust that my power has the ability to not only cast out devils, it can change the biological and chemistry of your own body just through my spoken word and my name, for it is above all names, saith the Spirit of Grace. Bow the knee of your heart to my wisdom against your own. Has your own wisdom worked for you? Count the days, count the years. Has what you've been doing made a great progress in recent history? Have you by leaps and bounds overcome? For those who are walking in a steady place of healing and deliverance, then that is a good indication that you're employing those things that are faithful and true. But I say unto you that an escalation, a quantum leap, a jump from one place to another, to a place of darkness, to a place of light, is capable in my word and in my sayings, and going back to the old and staying in my spirit and employing what is foolishness. I said in my word that the things of God becomes the foolishness of man. Makalasoto. Be willing in these days to be thought of as foolish, but I will come and prove you as those that are most wise in my spirit, saith the Lord. We just continue to release the power of God, the healing virtue of the Lord. Men that love God but have had a struggle with pornography, I say unto you that in Jesus' name, these things are over. As you turn into Him and receive His word, and you're on the cusp, the precipice, the closeness, because of your own willingness to fight, let this put you over. Let this bring you into a place of dominion. Receive the word of the Lord. You are free. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed, saith the Spirit of grace. Yes, sir, Jesus. Jesus, yes, sir. What do you say? What are you saying? I'm saying, I don't know. He said, yeah, say it. It's me. There are those. Yes, Lord. For those listening here, there, wherever, demonic spirits, suicide, recklessness of thought, those things that would come beyond what normal kinds of blue days or gloominess, those things that would come and try to first appeal, know this, that they must first begin to appeal to your logic and give you reasons why of your unworthiness, or why life is not working out, or why you'll never be free, or why things just are not for you as they are for others, and why you have been so misfortunate. Take the prophets as an example. Take Job as an example. Know this, for those that will hold on to me, that I will cause your latter days to be greater than your former. And there is nothing that the enemy, no temptation taken you, test or trial, that the enemy or the world or the flesh has levied on you, that I'm not able and willing to make a way of escape, not once, but every day of your life. If you live to be 120 and become very old, every day will be a way of escape for you. Every day will be a place of pleasure in my peace, saith the Spirit of grace. So we speak to the foolishness of Satan, to suicide thoughts, logic. Okay. Self-pity, you've got to go. You've got to go, self-pity. You're the one that's been kind of hanging around. Pitifulness, self-pity, woe is me. I have less. I'm not respected. Self-pity, I bind you in the name of Jesus. But Father, then for this one, it also is of a necessity that and those, whoever, have to respond within their own heart. I pray that they will make a quality decision not to feel sorry for themselves anymore. And they'll say, Lord, I can stand up. I can stand up with the rest of the body. I can stand up. Nothing has happened to me. Multiple things. Nothing has happened to me whereby I cannot walk free. Jesus. No divorce. No multiple divorces. No financial crisis. No bankruptcy. No multiple bankruptcies. No loss that he cannot come to. Revival is now. Jesus, thank you for the healing that you're doing in these bodies. Blood pressure, I hear him. I speak to your blood pressure. Heart, in the name of Jesus, hearts. Cardiovascular systems, in the name of Jesus, to the plaque in the heart, to the plaque in the bloodstreams, into the main arteries, to the cholesterol levels, I command you to come down, that the blood pressure come down, and in Jesus' name, your kidneys are restored, that they will not be dead. The damage that has been done through this high blood pressure, I command in the name of Jesus, both kidneys restored in the name of Jesus. No dialysis in your future. In Jesus' name, be made manifest in the healing virtue of the Lord. Sugar diabetes. Command the pancreas to begin to secrete the right levels of insulin. Jesus, you are who you say you are. I see you in our midst, Jesus. I see you, Lord. Jesus, who are you? We've not known you in your fullness. How willing you are to go from house to house, to individual, lift us up. But oh God, take us. Take us, Lord, past the point of living our life out of necessity for our next healing, our next motivation. The world is dying. The harvest, we say not in our hearts, yet 4 months. We say now is the day of harvest. God, we covet earnestly the best gifts. In the restaurants, let words of knowledge come upon us. I pray that there will be a presence wherever we sit. God, come with joy, peace. But Lord, when we come into presence of public and people with our friends, it's not about our jokes. It's not about our good times. It's not even about our laughter. Though you're in all of that to a degree, but God, may we sit, may we enter stores, may we enter the public, may we enter our life with a knowledge that God wants to emanate a glory through us of presence that touches the waitress, that touches the farm worker, that touches the man at the grocery store. Father, we repent of going about our day with a consciousness of our agenda, even when we thought it was your best for us to accomplish. Forgive us, wash us. We repent. And if we need to repent tomorrow, we'll repent. We'll continue to repent until this transition, that our whole life, as you said in the prophecy, that our whole lives are to be consumed by God, so that the authority that He walked in, that we walk in, when we enter a room, that it should light up. That we are the answer for everyone. As He is, so are we. God, our personalities have weighed too much in our life. We've wanted to be enjoyed by others too much without being conscious of the thing that you enjoy the most, and that is your anointing, your compassion. Interrupt us, Lord. God, for the little crippled children, interrupt us. God, for the blind, interrupt us. God, for those that have some kind of little ones that have autism, interrupt us. Interrupt us, Lord. Take our sleep from us, Lord, so that we spend the hours in your presence. Jesus, let there be nothing sacred in our life, no hobby. Nothing that we think that we enjoy. Continue to crucify us with Christ, that the life of Christ might be made manifest in us. Jesus. Ye have not because you ask not, saith the Spirit of the Lord. But I say, ask that you may receive, that your joy may be full. For many days have come and gone, and I have taught my body to not ask amiss. Those who turn and are asking bread from the one behind the wall, know you this, that I am more than willing, than even the example from Scripture. I know how to give good gifts to my children. Your gift is the bread of life that you will serve. Test these things. Begin to move under my unction. Oh, yes, Lord. Invite them again. I'm tendering their hearts. Go to them again. I'm tendering their hearts. Call them again. I'm tendering their hearts. Those that have been hard, those who have been steadfast against God. I will awaken their senses in these days, because these days are like no other. I have said in my word, and I have prophesied by my prophets and by many others, the days that would come towards the end would be like no others, saith the Spirit of grace. The former and the latter would come together, and the marriage between the two would create a child, a church that would be stronger in the earth than anything that has ever been seen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Appreciate everybody here this morning and everybody that's watching. Why don't you stand? We're not going to ask you to go around and hug or touch, but why don't you just give somebody a great big wave? If you're sitting down, they don't think you like them, so go ahead and stand up. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Now, go ahead and turn. Everybody give somebody a wave, okay? Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Blessings. Amen. Hallelujah. When you keep the worship team on the platform for an hour, then you watch them all like little ants run to the restroom as soon as possible. Hallelujah. Well, we want to welcome everybody. As I said this morning, we appreciate everybody that's here and everybody that's watching. And we've got we've got esteemed folks from Tulsa this morning. One in particular I know, or a couple in particular, I'm sure that his lovely wife is with him, but Gary Carpenter is here in our midst. Isn't that great? Come on now. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, where's he at? Some people were looking around. Oh, Gary, we were talking this morning, and Tulsa's got, like, the last text he sent me was just before I got up here a little bit ago, and it was 5 degrees, 5.9, I believe, something like that. And so Tulsa's having extreme cold weather there, and I think they're going to have like 8 or 9 inches of snow, so they couldn't have church today. So a lot of maybe some more Tulsa people are watching with us this morning. So welcome, Tulsa. Welcome everybody that's always normally with us. So let's give them a great big hand. Amen. Bless you. And I particularly, if you are watching, and I hope that you are, because of, you know, being the compassionate, sympathetic, loving kind of person that I really am, knowing that your temperature was 6 degrees and ours is quite a bit different. In fact, tomorrow I looked and I saw that the Tulsa is having, with the wind chill, it'll be up to 25 below. That's cold, right? Wow, that's cold. So we're not having that here. It's actually going to be 86 or 7 today. Marty, one of our elders, is going around here turning on fans for me because I'm hot up here. I'm breaking out almost in a sweat. So, but because I love everybody out there so much, I just wanted everybody to feel comfortable and feel like they were here in Florida, and so I wore my Hawaiian shirt. And so I got to tell you, it's nice and sunny outside, and hallelujah. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? I am. I'll tell you what, presence. How many enjoyed that presence that came through here? Amen. That's church. That's absolutely church. I get tickled sometimes. People will come in here that are part kind of, you know, they'll be here for a little bit and then they'll be out. And a lot of times they'll come with some, you know, good suggestions. They want to help us. You know, they want to help us. And I think sometimes people feel sorry for us. You know, like, man, they're a good bunch of people, but I'd know how to, you know, if I could help those people, you know, they're, you know, I could smarten them up a little bit. You know, I could help them grow that church if they really kind of would listen. You know, if you'd put in a coffee bar, and you couldn't say a coffee bar in the lobby because we don't have one, but you can find a place outside, or you can arrange this, or you could advertise more, and this, and here's the deal. We don't want that. If you think that we're not smart, that's okay. We don't even take exception with that. All we want is Jesus in our midst. That's all we want. And that makes everything real, real, real simple. Hallelujah. But I'd rather have a Jesus that would come and save my marriage or get anxiety off of me than go to service after service and sit in your, and I don't want to demean, but sit and have your latte and talk about the game last night or the game today. And oh, just before the service is over, there's maybe enough in the service to get you to, through coercion maybe, to raise your hands. But you go out, and Monday's the same. Don't change. I'll tell you this. I believe this. I believe this. And I'm not trying to be dramatic. If I knew today that we couldn't have our revival, and we already are, this is it. We're in it. If I knew that which I described was all there was, I would quit the ministry. And I'd just live I wouldn't go to any of those churches. I'd just live a life at home. Life without power in Christ is not worth living. I think the Holy Spirit sedated you guys so much. You're kind of like in a sedated state. That's okay. You were kind of a roaring crowd before I stepped up here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I know the kids are, that's some face right there. Can I show you something? Come here. Let me see Papa. Come see Papa. This guy loves his Papa. This way. Sai, Sai. Look. Now he's looking at his mama. Sai, Sai. Oh, he wants her now. He's got to have her. You know, I'll tell you the miracle. That baby, now he's looking at me like, Papa. He's left. See, smiling. He's 8 months old in 2 days. He won't ever remember. It'll be impossible for him to remember his grandfather on his dad's side. His name's Marty Siegel. It's very possible that in the next few days that he will go to heaven. But I'm telling you that the signs and the wonders that we live in today are beginning to trek and keep, they will soon start to keep pace with the book of Acts. And then it will become a norm, because we throw out all norm in here. I'll tell you this, I'm in protest. What are you in protest over? An election? Absolutely not. I'm in protest of anything normal in our services anymore. We don't sit in the norm, we sit in the supernatural. That's all we know. We hate, despise, with utter vengeance do we despise normal. The glory of the Lord is the only thing that we expect. And I'm talking about normal as in the mundane of Christian service. This past Monday, we got a call. You've heard this testimony. I'll go through it quicker, but not leave out any key. But my wife said that she got a call from our daughter that my son-in-law, which is Mike Siegel, his dad, which was in a rehab facility, then had had a fall and had a hematoma on the brain. Brain was bleeding. He had some other serious complications, pre-pneumonia, sepsis, a lot of other stuff, and that they only had like 48 hours to live. He's lived past that, present tense. But let me describe to you just a quick miracle. We drove over to where he was at in Lake Placid. I met Mike in LaBelle, which is close to here for those of you that are watching, 45 minutes from there. We got over there. They wouldn't let us in because it was the afternoon. It was COVID protocol. One person was allowed per day, and that one person had been and gone. And no matter how we tried to talk him into it, even with the necessity of someone in the ICU and myself being a clergy with an identification, they would not let me back. We prayed. I had people here. I had people in Tulsa praying that this man's life would not go into eternity. I've ministered to him before. He is a Jewish man, very smart, very stubborn. When I would try to talk to him about Christ before, he was not willing to even talk about that, but would circumvent the conversation into something else because he was really good at that. Tuesday we went over and I knew something was in front of us. I knew that the presence was in front of us and I could feel him going in front of us, but I expected him to go in front of us. And I'm saying the Holy Spirit when we got in there. And of course, once, you know, we were able to free to go to the desk through, you know, temperature checks and different things, the attending front desk called back and, long story short, said, okay, what we're going to do today is we're going to let, they say in the back ICU, the nurses or the head nurse is going to, they're going to make an exception, both of you can go back. So that's, I knew. So we go back and we find the room where Marty's at. Immediately his nurse and her assistant begins to talk with Mike. Marty's there, but he's incoherent in a certain sense. He's asleep more than in comatose, but a deep sleep. And so they talk for a few minutes, very nice, very, very congenial, leave and give us a short space. And so Mike begins to talk to his dad. He gets real alert. He wakes up, looks around. He's very alert. And you could tell he understands. I knew that, here's the deal. And I hope that those of you that are watching for the sake of your loved ones and anybody out there, the main focus of all of everything that we're doing towards miracles and this revival is the harvest. So those of you that have loved ones, it's vital for you to understand that, and I know that you know this, but eternity is forever. I heard Homer yesterday. He did an awesome job on his dad's homegoing. Some of you said, I didn't know I'd have been here. I heard some people say that this morning. Don't feel bad. He doesn't want you to feel bad. He did not announce it to everybody, deliberately so, because he was just going to kind of, he thought to just keep it to his, you know, close family and some of the friends that he knew here. And he knew you'd want to come, but he also, for the convenience of the moment and for, you know, some other stuff, COVID protocol and those kinds of things. He did an awesome job. He spoke to almost every group here, and I knew those groups were here. But one thing he said was, lovingly, but in a boldness, he held up his Bible and he said, there is no purgatory. It's not in the Bible. Nobody can pray you from one place to the next. It's after here, there's nothing else but two places. And if you go into that place, hell is forever. There's no coming back. There is no escape. Nobody has ever, only one man ever escaped. That's our Lord and Savior. And the reason why he escaped is because he went there on his righteousness, living righteous, and he went there bearing my sin, not his sin. He's the only one that's ever escaped in 6,000 years. Hell is a very horrible place. Continual torment, continual thirst. There is a lake of fire in there besides. It's real. Marty Siegel was headed towards hell, and there would be no place, no Jewish doctrine, no God's chosen people. Jesus said one thing, except you are born again, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. There's no other way. There's no other discussion. Jew, Gentile, it doesn't matter. You either die prior to accountability as a child, or you and get there, or else you're born again. There's no other way. So we went in. He wakes up. He's looking around. Mike addresses him, loves on him for just a minute, and I go to work, not viciously, but knowing that my time is limited. I'm very surprised, shouldn't be, but very surprised that his eyes are open. He's looking around, and he's actually trying to speak. So I began to share, Marty, you know that I've talked to you about this before, but you need to receive Christ, Marty. I don't know if he knows he's dying, but he knows he's in a bad place. So I go through and talk to him about Christ, and I ask him, can I pray for him? I can tell he's struggling to say something because he's taking into effect. His brain is articulating. He's understanding. So he's really trying to communicate. So I pray and I pray and I pray the sinner's prayer, and I'm saying to him, Marty, all you have to do is on the inside of you, I'm going to pray this for you, but you have to say yes to it. We talked some more about that Wednesday night. I won't go into that. Somebody said, oh, they gotta say it. Listen. Even almost comatose in that, if there's enough of a cognizant, the Holy Spirit can wake up where they make a decision, where they say yes. For it's with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. What righteousness? The righteousness of salvation. And as a result of that, the mouth is made unto the confession of that which has changed the heart. So I prayed. I didn't feel anything. The nurses, right after that, they came back in. They start talking, on and on. And then I tell Mike, I said, Mike, talk to your dad. Share with your dad your heart, your love for him. He does. He begins to share, and he begins to read some things that, you know, I'm weeping. I'm over there in the corner. I'm weeping. I'm sitting there. He's sharing some of his last words and his love for his dad. But the one thing he begins to stand up and say, Dad, please. He's looking right at him. He's hearing. He said, please. I want you to be born again. You have to be born again to see. I want you to come to heaven. I want to meet you again in heaven. So that little boy right there that I held up, he won't know Marty Siegel. Probably not. He may recover. We say, why don't you make us listen? The days are the stands that we make first and foremost is that these make heaven. You've got loved ones. You've got people. The first part, the first prerequisite for revival is the harvest of the souls. The icing and the dinner bell and everything else and the children's bread is the miracles and the healings. You ought to be being healed way before all this other comes into effect. In fact, I believe in truth, I believe many of you were this morning and through the camera. So he talks to his dad and he shares and he said, Dad, I really want you to accept Christ. Now I get another chance and I'm looking at him. And so he's facing me now. Marty, listen to me. You don't get to heaven except you receive Jesus. Jesus died for you. You have to make this decision. So he's really alert now. He's really alert. He had gone back to sleep during the time the nurses were in there. He come back up. So we're thinking this man's got bleeding on the brain. We don't know how. We almost thought we'd go in there and couldn't get him awake at all. At least that was my thought. So after I talked to him again about Jesus and the necessity, and that if he would say yes, then he was saying yes to everything that I was telling him and everything that I was telling him to be truth about Jesus, and Jesus would come into his life and Jesus would forgive his sins and give him a home in heaven. So Mike is seated beside now down again, or no, he's standing, I think, and he said, Dad, please. About this time, and I think at that point he was seated, I can't remember, but because I'm thinking about what happened during that moment, Mike began to cry because he could feel his dad begin to squeeze his hand. And he felt that there was a response coming because we had kind of said that one time or twice before. But I said, Mike was moved, and rightfully so, but I said, Mike, I want you to be sure. He said, Dad, I'm going to pull my hand off out of your hand. I'm pulling my hand out. And he's looking at him and he said, look, Dad, if you are saying, if it's yes to Jesus, if it's yes to Jesus, please, because there was a notable difference before. I mean, he could feel when there was tension or not tension. If you're saying yes to Jesus, or if you're saying yes, please, when I put my hand back in your hand, please. So he places his hand back in there, and Mike begins to weep excessively. And then I also, he says, he is squeezing my hand so strong at this moment. And I felt at the moment, and I began to weep. Because he was receiving Christ, but here is even another step for me. And I didn't say anything to Mike. I was rejoicing in the moment, believing, and I talked to my wife, I talked to my daughter, we were rejoicing, and I believed it. But I believed it as in we did the right things and there was a response. But I'm at a place in my life where everything is worked out in a spiritual realm where the consciousness of the things that happen around me are solidified in a witness or a direction from a continual fellowship and a consciousness in Him of whether things happen or don't happen. And so I wouldn't say anything to Mike in my search. And I didn't feel any anxiety. I knew that he would begin to talk to me when I got alone. The Lord. So Mike dropped me off. We were rejoicing. We were weeping. We were thankful. But I'm going. And so he knows
when I'm in a crowd, much of the time, even when I'm a crowd, I'm communicating with him, and he communicates with me. One of the things that I, for a year, maybe 2 years, I went over the face-to-face documents. One of the things that I think honed my ability to hear him were those face-to-face documents that some of you are saying, what are those? I won't go into the full introduction. Those are 20-plus year encounters that Gary Carpenter had with the Holy Spirit through a time of intimacy, and they were so verbatim to his heart and mind that all he could do is hear and dictate and then scribe later. And they were such incredible word-based documents that covered so many different, but intimacy and hearing and presence were some of the hallmarks of those documents that lasted over, I don't know how many of them there is, maybe a dozen plus, I don't know, several. But I went a couple of years in those, and the Holy Spirit says in those, and this isn't verbatim, I want you to begin to develop a relationship with me that you can hear my voice above all others, even in a crowd. I have developed that, but not to where I will develop it. So I get in the truck, I'm leaving, going home, and I'm start. And so if you're communicating before, then you don't have to pray your prayer out. So I like to sometimes think I'm going to pray something out, and he always goes ahead of me, and I say, well, Father, and he's like, okay, then he takes the conversation, so then I hush, pretty much. I mean, I might have got a little bit out. So he said, in that realm that I live in, and many of you, he said, what you saw today, this was my confirmation, he goes, what you saw today was a true miracle. It was a true miracle. He said, what you saw today was the signs and wonders of the revival. You get a 76 or 70-something year old man that is a Jewish man, stubborn, and is in his dying bed, receive Christ by the answer of yes. It's the miracle of God. And he said this to me, he goes, why wouldn't I come and do those things that you asked me to do? But these are the signs and the wonders of the revival, and he was speaking of the revival that now is. See, the harvest is first and foremost. I heard him say a few moments ago, go and ask him again. I said Wednesday night, we'll have more altar calls than we've ever had before. In fact, if you're watching in truth this morning, if you're watching this, or you'll watch it sometime in the future, the simplicity of the gospel is this, that Jesus Christ came that you might receive eternal life. There is a heaven and there is a hell. The truth of Christ's coming is this, that he became sin for you. He became sin. All men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All men were born with a sin nature. It's not good people that make it to heaven. Homer preached that yesterday in a tremendous way. Your goodness or your badness does not take you to heaven or hell, but there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. If you do not accept before you die the truth and the reality of Jesus Christ, no matter what your raisings, no matter what your religion, you will go to hell. But here's the offer. The offer is this. If you receive Christ, you receive his provision for eternal life for you. If you say yes to Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, that we become a new creation, that old things are passed away, all things become new. If you're ready to start a new life, a life of peace and a life of freedom, all it takes is to confess Christ and believe that what he did, the gospel is this, that God sent his only begotten Son into the earth. He lived his life, a sinless life, and then at the end of his life was crucified, receiving all of the world's darkness, all the world's sin, and all future came on him. All future sins of all mankind, anybody that would ever be born, the sin that they were born in came upon him at that moment. If you believe that he died and died for you personally and accept that and ask him into your life and repent and say, Jesus, I'm sorry, I repent for my sins. Come into my life. I will choose to serve you and I will follow you. Following him means that you begin to live a life according to the dictates of this new life, meaning you turn from the old and follow the new. I want everybody in here. It won't hurt us to do this. Let's pray this prayer. And those of you that are watching, if you've never prayed this prayer, or maybe you're coming back from a long journey, pray this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gospel of Christ. I believe that Jesus came to give me eternal life. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me in your blood. And I will follow you the rest of my life. I believe in you, Jesus. I confess you as my Savior. I confess you as my Lord. I confess that from this day forward, I am a Christian and I will follow Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give that those that have accepted. Homer gave an awesome call yesterday. It was amazing. Hallelujah. The presence of God came into this service this morning. The presence of God. Amen. That's my dad over there, 80 years old. Everybody say happy birthday, David. Yeah, we missed it. He said when he gets to be 100, you can say it too. Amen. We will not schedule any normal services around here anymore. All we know is revival is now. I don't care if there's 10 or 10,000 of you. He will be here. Expect when you tune in here that you're going to get healed every time. Expect, I'm not trying to propagate this ministry, this website, this channel, but I'm telling you, when you tell somebody, if you'll watch that, you'll be healed. It'll happen every service. Every service. That's my left. It'll happen every service. Hallelujah, Jesus. It's going to happen every service. That's the gospel, Homer said. It's the gospel. Hey, let's start. This is a norm. This is a norm. When's revival going to get? Sister, brother, the train has left. The revival train's left. We're on it. Glory to God. If you're going to fast, continue to fast. We're going to continue to fast and pray, but we're not praying for something that's coming. The kingdom of God's here. The kingdom of God is here. Glory to God. Woo! Praise you, Jesus. Can you do the praises of highway? Do you know it enough? Take us, just do something. We got to worship the Lord a little bit. No. Oh, by the way, in case I forget and get over in the spirit, no church tonight. I guess it's Valentine's Day. I got a beautiful wife. Somebody said the thing they did was for Valentine's Day was they took the nicest photo of their wife and put it on a card on the refrigerator and said, Employee of the Month. Actually, Andrea sent me that, and she goes, if you put that up, Miss Candy's going to knock you out, and then she's going to practice on raising the dead. Hallelujah. Listen, I'll mention it again at the end of the service in a little bit. You'll get ready to give. I talked to a man this week that was weeping. He'd give a substantial amount. And he was crying. You know, most people cry when you take their money. This guy was crying because he had, for all of his life, since he began to feel the call, he was able to give something that he'd always wanted to give. And the joy of giving is knowing that there is none diminished. Really, if you're giving out of that joy, you'll know that there's nothing diminished. It's continual flow. He was weeping because the promises of God to his spirit had come into fullness. We'll give you an opportunity later, but I've got just a little bit more to spend in worship. If you're at home, sit or stand, but worship with us. If you're here this morning, I hope that most of you will stand and get ready. Let's just worship a little bit more. Hey, Marty Siegel is going to heaven. Your family members are going to heaven. Some men got healed this morning. Some women got healed this morning. Anxieties left. Fear left. The possibilities of people being born again. My God, this is a powerful kingdom. This is a kingdom without end. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing and praise the Lord. Jesus. Jesus. They made it. They made it, saith the Lord. The one that you were standing for and that you stood for and that you've questioned in days gone by, they're here with me, saith the Spirit of grace. For I'll place a witness inside of you concerning their hearts. But my answer to many today, that stood in that place of intercession for them even to the end, but never knew because they were in a faraway place or some place or a time had been a space and time that you did not or could not communicate to them. But once again, I rise up on the inside of many of you and I say, take this word as continual hope and renewal of hope in your heart. You will see them again in my presence, saith the Spirit of grace. Let peace govern your life. Let the witness on the inside communicate to you that they're here with me, saith the Spirit of the Lord. For many of them, it was their last breath. But a consciousness of me. Mahalochrede esete. Now he's speaking real specific. There's no way for me to know this except elaklasete. Even those, many of those in tragedy, where it seemed like a split second thing, I was able to come to that place in the twilight between the actual death in the closing moments of their life and bring forth a picture of the reality of all truth that had ever been said to them. And I received as in mercy their yes to me. So I say unto you, if I made these things so profoundly simple for anyone to enter in, why would you not continue to pray vehemently for these and for your cities, and continue to broadcast this, even with invitations, even with a simple God bless you, even with the things that seem so minuscule. For I said that even a cup of cool water would not pass from one to the next, that I would not take pleasure in these things. I'll follow you. I'll follow you. I promised I'd follow you. I'll follow you. I'll follow you into the places where there is no presence. Jesus. Jesus. Just going to close out worshiping. If today before you leave, if you have a gift, you can bring it to the front. I mentioned this Wednesday night, the church is going to do something. I won't go into the story, but for Aaron Hansen, Kyle Hansen, a friend of mine and a friend of many, and Gary and Sue Carpenter, a son-in-law, went home to be with the Lord last week. And we won't go into that story, but they celebrated his homegoing yesterday. We have the link, the GoFundMe link on Facebook. You can go there, or some have asked even this morning. You can do it a couple of different ways. You can put it in two envelopes and just put Kyle on one. That'll go with our gift. Or you can just designate it on the envelope if it's just one. If you're giving through PayPal, send us an email. Let us know what you wanted to contribute to that. Many of you have heard the story. I won't go into it again. If you're watching from another church this morning, don't send your offering here. Don't give your... Send it. If they have a PayPal account, send it to that church. If they don't, wait to the next service and give it in that service. But let's just continue to worship as you leave this morning if you'd like to bring something forward. God bless you. Take us back into that, guys. We love you all. Blessings.